Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. The Russian foreign minister has this week stated that there is a very real risk of a nuclear war because of NATO's continuing support for Ukraine. So in this video, I wanted to investigate how much financial support NATO has been giving to Ukraine, what the potential risks of a nuclear war actually are, whether or not those risks are going to be heightened by the recent reports that both Finland and Sweden now intend to join NATO. And that was one of the issues that caused the invasion of Ukraine in the first place, that Ukraine were talking about joining NATO because they were concerned that Russia was going to invade them. And it became a bit of a vicious circle. And Russia then decided that they wanted to take action before it was too late, because once Ukraine were in NATO, then obviously the whole of NATO would have been on their side. I then thought it'd be interesting to have a quick look at which countries around the globe actually hold nuclear weapons. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think the implications of these ongoing support costs are for the global economy and what the likelihood is of this situation escalating into some form of World War III. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters in my videos. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below, where you'll find the link to both Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And I'm delighted to tell you that this video today is brought to you in conjunction with Atlas VPN. The Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has accused NATO of engaging in a proxy battle against Russia by arming Ukraine, and said that this has created a serious and real risk of nuclear war. He was asked on Russian state television about the importance of avoiding World War III and whether the current situation was comparable to the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis. Lavrov responded by stating that the risks are now considerable, and that the danger is serious, real, and we must not underestimate it. He went on to say that NATO, in essence, is engaged in a war with Russia through a proxy and is arming that proxy. War means war. Lavrov's remarks were made ahead of a meeting of more than 40 countries at a German airbase to discuss arming Ukraine to help it fight Russia's latest military assault in the east. And in response to the Russian statement, Chairman of the US Joint Chief of Staff Mark Milley stated that the Ukrainians need continued support in order to be successful on the battlefield, and that's really the purpose of this conference. The aim is to coordinate aid that includes heavy weapons such as howitzer artillery, as well as killer drones and ammunition. Ukraine's foreign minister's reply to Lavrov's statement was that he regarded Russia's scaremongering as a sign of weakness. NATO stands for the North Atlantic Treaty Organization and is a peacekeeping organization whose history dates back to 1949, when the founding 12 nations signed what was known as the Washington Treaty. Membership of NATO has now grown to 30 countries and includes the majority of Europe, Canada, and the USA. NATO's purpose is to guarantee the freedom and security of its members through political and military means. NATO promotes democratic values and enables members to consult and cooperate on defence and security-related issues to solve problems, build trust, and in the long run, prevent conflict. On the military front, NATO is committed to the peaceful resolution of disputes. If diplomatic efforts fails, it has the military power to undertake crisis management operations. These are carried out under the Collective Defence Clause of NATO's founding treaty, Article 5 of the Washington Treaty, or under a United Nations mandate, alone or in cooperation with other countries and international organisations. So clearly the objective of NATO is try to resolve conflict peacefully, but if it can't be resolved peacefully, then it will resort to solving these matters from a military perspective. Now, Ukraine is not a member of NATO, and one of the issues that accelerated Russia's invasion of Ukraine was Ukraine's advanced discussions with NATO with regards to joining the alliance. So as Ukraine is not an official member, there is no official support being provided by NATO as a collective for this particular conflict. However, a lot of the individual nations who are members of NATO have been providing direct financial support, both from a humanitarian point of view and also from a military perspective. Before we go on any further, I want to talk about today's sponsor, Atlas VPN, and the incredible $1.99 three-year deal that they've offered on an exclusive basis to Joe Bloggs viewers. So what is a VPN and why do you need it? Well, every time you go onto the internet, you leave a virtual footprint and you run the risk of being hacked or spied upon. A virtual private network makes all your internet traffic travel through an encrypted tunnel and protects you from spying, public Wi-Fi dangers, and hides your IP address and online activities. So VPNs are a great idea from a security perspective because it means that every time you go online, you're protected and you can't be hacked. But from a fun point of view, they're also really useful because they enable you to change your location and that gives you lots of really interesting options. So recently I was on holiday and I wanted to watch a soccer match using my local subscription. But because I was overseas, my local broadcaster wouldn't allow me to access my usual subscription. However, using Atlas VPN, I was able to change my location and watch that match as if I was sitting at home. So that's just one example of the multiple benefits that Atlas VPN offers you. And it's available on unlimited devices for only $1.99 a month on a three-year contract. So please have a look at the link in the description below and you've got a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not happy, you can cancel the service within 30 days. In March 2022, the US Congress approved a $13.6 billion emergency package for Ukraine, which included money for humanitarian aid, defense assistance, and economic support. This aid was effectively divided between what lawmakers term lethal and humanitarian aid. The approval provided up to $3 billion of lethal aid to support US military's European command and to be used for operations mission support, the deployment of personnel to the region, and intelligence support. This White House paper details the military assistance that was provided up until the middle of March and shows that at that point, $2 billion had been invested into weaponry, which included 1,400 Stinger anti-aircraft systems, 4,600 Javelin anti-armor systems, 1,000 light anti-armor weapons, 6,000 AT-4 anti-armor systems, 5 helicopters, 300 grenade launchers, 3 patrol boats, 70 high-mobility multi-purpose wheeled vehicles, 25,000 sets of body armor, 25,000 helmets, over 60 million rounds of small arms ammunition, and over 1 million grenade, mortar, and artillery rounds. The UK has also been providing significant financial support to Ukraine and has so far provided over £450 million worth of military aid, which includes anti-tank missiles, munitions, defence systems, and protective body armour. In addition to the $450 million of military aid, the UK has also provided around £400 million worth of economic and humanitarian support. Germany has not released detailed information of the support it's provided, but is estimated to have provided around 2 billion euros worth of support so far. France is estimated to have provided over 300 million euros worth of support, and collectively, the EU has given more than 650 million euros. Since January 2022, Canada has committed over $118 million in military equipment to support Ukraine and has budgeted for a further $500 million. Finland has a significant land border with Russia, and Sweden is also geographically very close to Russia, and both have expressed an interest in joining NATO. It's been reported that the leaders of both countries plan to meet in the week of May the 16th and that they will publicly announce their plans to apply to join the alliance thereafter. Finland Prime Minister Sanna Marin recently stated that the option to join NATO had to be carefully analysed, but that everything had changed when Russian forces invaded Ukraine in late February. The difference between being a partner and being a member is very clear and will remain so. There is no other way to have security guarantees than under NATO's deterrence and common defence as guaranteed by NATO's Article 5. Both Finland and Sweden have remained neutral on the Russian situation historically, but public opinion in Finland has recently taken a U-turn, with the most recent poll by private broadcaster MTV showing 68% of respondents in favour of joining, with only 12% against. Russia has repeatedly warned both countries against joining NATO. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov has said that if Finland and Sweden entered NATO, Russia would have to rebalance the situation with its own measures. If the two countries join, we'll have to make our western flank more sophisticated in terms of ensuring our security, he said. Now let's hope there is absolutely no chance whatsoever of what's happening right now in Ukraine escalating to anything close to a nuclear war. But in terms of providing you with information and making sure that you know exactly what's going on, I wanted to talk about which countries around the world actually hold nuclear weapons and also where those nuclear weapons are located. Now, the number and location of nuclear weapons is obviously a matter of high security, so it's not that easy to track down the information. So I've got some charts here, which I'll show you, which no doubt will cause a lot of discussion in the chat below, because there's always a difference of opinion as to exactly how many weapons are around and where they're situated. But this graphic shows you the 9 countries who officially have nuclear weapons. So the 2 largest countries are the USA and Russia, which have somewhere around 5,500 to 6,000 nuclear weapons each. The country that's reported to have the next largest arsenal is China, followed by France, United Kingdom, Pakistan, India, Israel, and North Korea. Now, this graphic shows the location of those nuclear weapons, and they're split into 3 different categories. The first are the red dots, which are operationally deployed. So these are weapons that have been situated strategically in the event of the need for usage. The blue dots represent long-term storage, so these are not weapons that are armed and ready to be used immediately. And the yellow dots relate to either design and production of new weapons or old weapons that are due to be dismantled. So as you can see, both the USA and Russia have a variety of red, blue, and yellow dots, as you would imagine. And there are a variety of blue, red, and yellow dots in China, Pakistan, India, Korea, and Israel. But what's interesting about this graphic is that there are only 2 countries in Europe that officially have their own nuclear weapons, being the UK and France. However, the cluster and the number of red dots around Europe represents the most operationally deployed nuclear weapons anywhere in the world. And the reason for this is the NATO alliance and the fact that US and European weapons are being deployed in a variety of countries with a view to being able to be used to strike against an aggressive nation, predominantly Russia. So unofficially, it's been reported that the US has shorter range nuclear weapons located in Belgium, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, and Turkey. This means that if Russia decided to deploy any of its nuclear weapons or threatened to do so, then the US would not have to rely on long-range missile launchers to be able to counter-strike. They basically have nuclear weapons ready and armed and could deploy those within a short space of time in a response to a Russian strike. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because the statement from the Russian foreign minister about the potential for nuclear war being real is concerning to all of us. If we enter into a new World War III, then that is going to mean that the entire globe is thrown into utter chaos. It will decimate everything that we know about the world today. So the financial systems and the global supply chain and all of the things that we've been talking about over the last few months will all be completely redundant, and essentially we'll have to go back to building everything back from scratch. So hopefully that is a completely unrealistic option and will never happen. But I wanted to touch on the amount of support that's being provided to Ukraine. Because I think when you see news reports of what's happening in Ukraine, you think about Ukraine funding everything themselves, when clearly all of the other nations around the world are providing a lot of financial and military support to Ukraine to keep them going. So a lot of weaponry is being provided by the US and Europe, and that's helping them in their defense against Russia. And the flip side of that is that Russia are now becoming frustrated. They thought that this would be a relatively short and easy military campaign. They would send in their troops, they'd be able to take over these areas and then declare an annex of either part or all of Ukraine. Now, that's not happening. And the longer that this conflict goes on, the higher the risk that Russia will need to do something to bring a satisfactory conclusion to this conflict. Now, making threats about potential nuclear strikes is probably just rhetoric. They're probably doing that to try to warn off all of the countries of Europe to stop providing support to Ukraine. But we're getting to the point where it's unlikely that that support will cease because everybody wants Russia to back down. Now, the problem that we have is that President Putin is unlikely to back down. It's not in his nature. It's not a Russian way of doing things. So we're getting to a stage where this could become a very long and drawn out military conflict. And as I've said multiple times before, the longer that this goes on, the worse the impact on the global economy will be. There is only bad news coming from this situation. It's driving up the cost of everything. It's making things more difficult to do because now we're having to change supply chains and move away from dealing with Russia. And Russia are now switching where they're selling their oil and will need to also change where they're selling their gas in the future. So we're seeing a change in world order. And change usually means higher cost, certainly in the short term, potentially for the medium to long term. So all of that is bad news for the global economy. But the amount of money that's being provided by all of the nations of the world to help support Ukraine is also bad news because that money is being wasted on a war when it could be put to better use and help grow the global economy. And another overriding concerning factor is the potential for Sweden and Finland to be drawn into this conflict. So they are close neighbours of Russia and have become concerned that what's happening to Ukraine could potentially happen to them. So they want to sign into the NATO treaty and become members of that alliance to persuade Russia that it is really not a good idea to invade either country because then all of NATO would have to be officially involved. Now, the risk here is that Russia sees what's happening and decides to do exactly what it did in Ukraine and make a preemptive strike and invade those countries before they're officially part of the NATO alliance. So there's a lot going on right now, and the potential for this to escalate into something bigger than just a conflict in Eastern Europe is getting larger by the day. So hopefully this video has given you a bit more perspective and understanding as to the global situation and who the players are and what potentially could be the worst case scenario if Russia does decide that they're losing patience with NATO's unofficial support for Ukraine and that they want to take matters further. Hopefully there won't be any form of escalation and there'll be a peaceful resolution and we can all go back to focusing in on the fun stuff around the global financial situation. If you've liked what I've said today and you thought it was interesting, informative and educational, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. I know you're completely sick of hearing about it, but unfortunately we still haven't got to that magical 4,000 hours figure yet. We're getting closer every day and hopefully at some point during May, we will be at that point where I can apply for monetization and then we can start posting some videos on the channel. So if you do have a spare 5 minutes, if I could ask you to jump over to Joe Blogs 2, watch one or two of the videos or press play on the playlist, and that will help us achieve that goal. And then we can start seeing whether or not we can find some YouTube stars of the future. So thanks again for watching this part of the video and watching the whole video right through to the end.